Freshly squeezed Orange Cassidy, and I do not have a catchphrase.
Go
fuck yourself. And I am a sports entertainer.
Welcome, everybody, to Eat Sleep Elite. We are a weekly AEW review and breakdown podcast. I am one of your hosts, Charlie, joined as always by the wonderful, the Digital Duke. How is it going, Duke?
Hey there, buddy.
We just got done watching some Wrestle Kingdom 19, and as become tradition on our channel, we like to just do a fucking post show. It's something to look forward to in the new year. And yeah, so we don't usually do too much.
We saw
much.
Some Japanese sweaty men slap some meat tonight.
Absolutely. Yeah. We don't usually do too much New Japan coverage, but we've been dipping our toes in more and more, and sometimes it dips in and out.
If you actually look at like this, the first couple of months this time last year, like, we actually did cover all the New Japan stuff that came out for the first couple months. And if you go back even before then, like I think we covered most of the previous year. I think we hit all the major pay-per-views in the previous year before that. We just kind of fell off it because, keep it a buck, New Japan kind of fell off a little bit last year, you know what I mean? So, you know.
It's a completely just different vibe this year.
Should I go to that tweet and just give a shout out to that person that we looked at earlier? Because I feel like that really encapsulates the change that shout out Lyric on Blue Sky. Wrestle Kingdom has a completely different energy than last year's show. A little over a year into Tanahashi's presidency as just what the doctor ordered for this company. Progress can't be denied. If they stick the landing, they're on a great path for 2025. But I did end up just reading the whole thing because it flows really nicely. And it's and shout out Lyric because it's exactly how I would put it into words if I was going to. Because like I said, this time last year, we really weren't sure where they were going. We had ideas, but like there was really no plan. And I think the biggest thing, and that's what I put in my reply to that, which was, it seems like they're investing in the young talent, which is a really good way to ensure the future. You know, basically what we're assuming, trying to always argue should be happening at AEW with our pillars. You know what I mean? So
we needed one of the new, you know, people from Excursion to be in the main event last year, and it just didn't happen. So having Sabre versus Shota in our main event felt much different than Naito versus Sonata. It just gave a different vibe. And then top to bottom, the whole card, it was just a lot of fun. So I guess let's get into it a little bit. So just in the pre-show, we had Hirooki Goto win the New Japan Rambo. He's just going to be challenging either Ricochet or Zack Sabre Jr. next, depending on who's winning that belt. And we will be doing a Wrestle Dynasty coverage as well. It's gonna be grouped in with our weekly AEW show this week, so that'll be fun. And then let's get to the main card, Duke. We had the Ichiban Sweet Boys defeat the Intergalactic Jet Setters, which is Kevin Knight and Kushida, TJP and Francesco Akira in Catch 22, and then the Bullet Club War Dogs in Clark Connors and Jilla Maloney in a four-way Tokyo Terror ladder match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. I think on paper there's no better way you could start the show than with this match. That's usually been the job ever since I've really been watching of the junior tag titles, is to open the show. And they go out there, they put on a fun match every time. You get some big, enjoyable spots. And I like all four of these tag teams. Kevin Knight is someone that is so fucking special. And there's been a lot of rumors about his contract situation, just like it seems like everyone in New Japan when January comes around, right? You know, what's the deal with the contracts? Because a lot of these guys only sign one-year deals, maybe two. So to see Kevin and Kushida defending these titles, I thought this match was a lot of fun. The Bullet Club War Dogs just have so much fucking sauce.
Yeah, they really do. It's funny. This is a tag team. Every tag team on paper is a team that we like, and it's people we've been rooting for since they were young lions. And it's like, it's fascinating to see. I think my biggest takeaway from this is obviously Kosei Fujita finally winning something in New Japan is obviously massive.
Really,
you know?
Really good sign.
And I also think I was talking to you about this while we were watching it. I think this is the first time we've watched somebody from like the Robbie Eagles camp that's not like Kyle Fletcher, like really take off and like achieve some like level of success, you know? So like, I like seeing somebody from TMDK, like, you know, actually kind of realizing their potential a little bit, you know, and I don't even think he fully has yet. So it's, I don't know how much the ladder match aspect of this really worked. I mean, it just felt like any other ladder match.
Exactly. Wrestling gimmick ladder match.
Yeah, which, you know, it was fun. The tables did not want to help them in this match at all, which was pretty funny, you know? I mean, it wasn't that funny. I'm sure somebody actually got hurt, but I mean, yeah, it's just always like, Jesus Christ. It's like a meme, the tables in Japan at this point, you know? Like,
yeah. And Ichiban Sweet Boys, I think this was the first result of the night where it really felt like, okay, it's going to really be a new era of New Japan in the sense of these young guys are winning gold. Like, how many of these young guys are going to win it throughout the night, and what were some of the results going to be? We weren't sure. But no matter what, no matter if no one else won fucking gold, young Kosei Fujita won gold here. And, I mean, this guy, he is so new to wrestling. Like, he started wrestling post-COVID. So, and to see how much he's already picked it up. Now, I believe he was an amateur wrestler before that, but, you know, the professional wrestling, if you will. So, just to see that happen already.
I mean, not everyone's Kurt Angle and can just immediately understand, like, how wrestling works. You know what I mean? Like, and I think Kurt Angle also trained with some wrestlers, like, directly to be able to not look like an idiot. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, just a good time overall, and Fujita pulled both belts, and yeah, I think this was, as far as an opening match goes, it set the table and set the show, set the match for the night. So, up next, we have Mayu Iwatani defending her IWGP Women's Championship match against Azumi. As always, Azumi's offense, it's so fast, the speedy, it's so enjoyable to watch her. Every single time we've watched her wrestle, it's a good time. So when I saw that this was the advertised match, I'm like, okay, this is going to be fun. Canadian Destroyers, there was some suplex by Iwatani that was just so fucking good. And she went for a tombstone piledriver, and she hit a closed dragon suplex to pick up the win. This was a lot of fun. This was really a good time, and
it's really hard to not argue that Mayu Iwatani is the best women's wrestler in the world. And I think it's kind of crazy. The best women's wrestler in the world really should be the WWE Women's Champion. Like, if we're talking about, like, in terms of, you know, eyes on and so forth, right? That should be who's the best, right? And I mean, maybe I mean when Rhea was champion, I think you could make that argument, right? You know what I mean? Like, but Mayu is just so much ahead of everybody else. And I think the women's championship in Japan now matters more than the other ones. It just feels that way. You know what I mean? Like,
it is that important. And they're trying to develop a legacy for this one. And I think when you're giving it to, you know, I think Iwatani's our third champion. She's had the belt for like 2 years now.
Do you know why it is? And it's because I mentioned this again. It's another thing that it's a great, this show kind of just wrote itself while we were watching together tonight. It's kind of brilliant. Like I was saying to you that, like, I feel like, and I was saying this to our friend Mike, who watched the show with us, shout out Mike, because he's been tuning into these Japanese wrestling shows with us. But I think I was saying to him, like, this is the legacy of the old school, like, Japanese women's wrestling that you see the gifts of on, like, you know, Puroso Flowvision and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Like, is like, this is that legacy upheld. Is this, I mean, who was it that was at ringside? It was one of the people that was fucking known for that, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's fucking, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like I'm not doing a really good job, like, explaining it. But, like, this match had a lot of really, like, strong elements of that in it, I feel like, that
it
I can just point out.
It was sub 9 minutes, and they used up every single second.
And this is not to say that it felt like, I feel like if I say if it felt like longer than that, it implies that it dragged. It didn't. What I mean by that is it felt like they got a lot more done in that time. And I think that has everything to do with what you mentioned with Azume's fucking offense speed. You know what I mean? Like, she just fucking hits everything so quickly, and it just makes everything, like, you know, it probably means she probably gasses out pretty quickly. I would think if trying to do that, I probably wouldn't be able to keep up, even if you were, like, you know, like, really, like. But at the same time, I really like what they did here. And like I said, I think I personally view this women's championship as, like, the most important one, because every match for it has been insane. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I mean, all of our three champions, it's been Kairi, Mercedes, and Iwatani. I mean, she's had it for 2 years. So they're doing a good job establishing this belt. New Japan in the 2020s has, you know, basically started from scratch with every single championship. So, you know, what's it going to look like in 10 years? We're off to a great start. So, up next, we had our four-way for the New Japan World Television Championship. We have a new champion, El Fantasmo. He defeated Ren Narita, Jeff Cobb, and Roy Oiwa. Another one of our young guys that is now thrust onto the Wrestle Kingdom card. And it's nice to see.
Great value, Logan Paul, and finally living up to his legacy and winning a mid-card title.
Yeah. What do you think of this one for our four-way match?
I thought the match was solidly fine. Like, I forgot this was even happening. Like, you told me the card for this, like, I don't know, whenever, like, we started talking about doing this show. And I just wanted to slip my mind because it's just, like, a random match, you know what I mean? But then, like, my attention was caught because I was like, all right, ELP, Jeff Cobb, Ren Narita. Who the fuck is this TMDK guy? Why have I not heard of this guy? You know what I mean? It's kind of flew under the radar, I guess, probably because he went to NOAH, which is probably not as...
we were watching, he was a young lion in the company. Like,
we probably saw him on the ringside, but I just never heard the guy's name. Exactly. Really, you know what I mean?
We didn't really see him in ring.
One of, like, several men in TMDK shirts on the ringside, you know, during one of the big Robbie Eagles matches or something. You know what I mean? Like...
not even. Like, he's one of the guys on the side in the fucking New Japan hoodies and shit.
Oh, no. What I'm saying is, like, but I, you know how they always have, like, a gaggle of people out there with TMDK during Robbie Eagles' singles runs? You know what I mean? Like, anyway.
Yeah, because he joined up with them in September, it looks like. So, very fresh acquisition.
You know what? Fair enough. The point is, I did not heard of this guy. Like, normally you hear about a guy, like, I would not, I'm just surprised we hadn't talked about this guy at all, because, like, He was back in September, I think. So I would have thought that would have made a splash. You know what I mean? For us, like, we maybe would have, you know, peeked back in, but I guess it just never landed for any. That is a weird time in New Japan where there's not as much going on pay-per-view wise. You know what I mean? So that might have been the reason why he didn't really get that pop. But I gotta say, you know, when you tell me a guy is training with TMDK, obviously, because everyone, you know, that's for people that don't know, the reason why I say stuff like that, like why I treat it sort of kayfabe-ly, is because, like, in Japan, your faction is your training partners and your travel crew, and you're on the same bus and so on and so forth. So that's your boys, you know what I mean? That's, like, literally your actual, like, that's who's teaching you how to wrestle and stuff like that, presumably, if you're on your way up, right? So, you know, like, that's, you know, anyway, the point is, I think I was really surprised that I'd not heard of this guy, because you take a guy like that's doing that and you send him to NOAH, and I'm sure he tore shit up over there. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I didn't see anything crazy in this match from him, like, because he obviously wasn't the still focus here. But I did like everything I saw from him, and I wanted to point out that I was not familiar with them beforehand, Roichi, but I just hadn't really. It's just one that slipped in. This is why I love us peeking back into New Japan like this, Charlie, because I'm a fan of this guy. And I had no idea who he was, you know, before the show. So, like, that just shows you the power of when you take somebody and you send them on an excursion and then you bring them back. Maybe it doesn't work right away, but for me, this guy is now somebody I'm interested in. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Jeff Cobb was so good in this again, and it's nice to see ELP really get some gold here, because I remember we covered last year he had to step away from wrestling for a little bit, and it looks to see that he's on the right track back with everything that's going on.
Why is Jeff Cobb always so much better than everybody else in, like, the matches he's in, unless he's, like, wrestling, like, Will Ospreay or some shit like that?
He's just forever one of those just underrated guys.
Will Ospreay tear the house down or some shit like that? No, it was him and what's his name? Well, probably both, honestly, but
He teamed up with Fletcher and faced Moxley and Danielson, I remember, on that Dynamite episode. That was really fucking good.
So, honestly, I can't remember the last time Jeff Cobb really disappointed me. There's been times where he didn't get enough offense in like an 8-man tag or something like that, but what are you gonna do? You know, like, it's 8-man, it's probably like 20 minutes, you know, like, so...
I wouldn't be shocked if there was a world where they transitioned him to be one of the world champ, like, contenders.
One of the few guys that has a build that looks like a world champion's build that's not... I mean, because he would technically be considered a gaijin, right? Because being Japanese, right?
He's
from
Guam, so...
Yeah,
well,
so...
If I remember correctly, he represented Guam in the Olympics. Don't know if he's from there, but...
Right, but you had that. I mean, you know, yeah. I guess you could theoretically be from somewhere, but you would think he probably has some heritage there, presumably, and that's why he'd want to represent there. But maybe he just wanted a spot in the Olympics. Who knows? But because you can't have non people from your country, right?
Like a parent has to be from there at least.
Okay, I see. I don't even know the rules of the Olympics. I casually will watch, like, a few events and, like, not really care about the Olympics for the most part. Even though I respect the shit of the athletics involved, that was never a thing I thought I was ever capable of. So I kind of, like, you know, track and field was, like, cool, but I was like, I'm not. I can't even comprehend what those people are doing, you know?
Yeah. Another new champion though. So
yeah, dude, I love to see this. This is what I was talking about. The emphasis on putting new people in these spots and putting it on people that you haven't seen. And we've been talking about him being like, it's been so stop start with him. Like, he feels like they were putting a lot into him with this new gimmick that they debuted like a year ago or something now, it feels like, or whatever. Like, where he came out with the ELP, yeah, that whole thing. You know, and because we remember, again, he was just kind of dead in the water at the time, and we really liked what he was doing as a singles, but he had no attachment to anything. He got yeeted out of the group he was in. And we were like, what the fuck is the plan for this guy? And there really wasn't one. So, you know, and then they did that. It's like, okay, but they never did anything with it. So maybe they'll do something with it now, I would hope. If not, then fuck, we're in the shits, you know?
Yeah.
Just being honest, you know?
And now we have our Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Evil Lumberjack match. And the idea was here, if Tanahashi was to lose, he would retire sooner than originally planned. So Evil was using every dirty tactic in the book, spray painting Master Wado. You know, Oleg Bolton had a fun spot here. There was a dick to dick contact that I thought was pretty brilliant. And, you know, it's an Evil match. The shenanigans were
fucking dick to go.
They were a foot. And yeah, I thought it was fine for what it was. It didn't last like very long, and it just covered the ground it needed to. I didn't hate it. I don't
hate, I told you what I wrote in my notes for this one.
it went way too fucking long. But yeah. what'd you think of this one?
Yeah, I wrote one word in my notes, yawn.
And then
moving on,
post match, Will Ospreay, I mean Ketsuyo Shibata, came to the rescue. Shibata challenged Tanahashi for Wrestle Dynasty. So yeah, we got some more developments for that card.
But I didn't check on Blue Sky. Did anyone else think it was Will Ospreay, or was that just you?
There was like a half a second, and I saw the face. I'm like, oh shit, is it Ospreay?
No, I thought the same thing for like half a second too. And then I think he turned the hood up a little bit. I was like, oh,
like, oh shit, Ospreay. Duh, Shibata, duh. Because, you know, I think wearing the AEW hoodie threw it off for a second, but.
I mean, yeah, he's AEW now. He doesn't that's work brilliant. For this company anymore. Hey, think Shibata. About that. We were talking about that on the show. They don't let people that left and went to AEW come on. He's
it's
one.
It's a rare occurrence. Yeah, and now he's
but
here.
He's also like, he worked in the back for years, so that might be different.
And trained all the guys at the LA Dojo. Like,
literally half the guys that are on the roster right now were trained by this guy. You know what I mean? So I would say they probably would let him in the back.
Connors,
but, you know,
Knight, all these guys we saw earlier. Yeah.
Literally all these guys were the last class of people he trained, pretty much. Like, so, you know, like, you know.
So 2025 is going to be the last year of Tanahashi wrestling.
Yes.
I fully expect him to main event the Dome next year.
That's oh, just yeah, my 100%. Gut. Probably with the title, right?
I don't know the title, but maybe challenging for it. Let's do a one last, hey, hurrah. Who you get in there, we'll have to see what develops over time. Maybe it's...
Nah, if they're going to do his last run, and this is Japan, man, he's going to win the G1, he's going to win the fucking tag tournament, he's not going to win the championships out of it, but he's going to win these tournaments and, like, give himself every opportunity to win. Like,
yeah. He might not main event the Dome. I mean, again, this is...
I could see them Shawn Michaels-ing it, you know what I mean? Like, where, like, he tried every opportunity and had to, like, make, like, a match at the end against, maybe against Naito or something like that, right? Like, he gets Naito to fight him because Naito doesn't have a match or something like that. You know what I mean? Because he wants to fucking go out on his sword, you know?
This is worth mentioning. I mean, this already is a special start to his final year.
Oh, yeah.
Bringing out Shibata like they did. And you can't help but acknowledge what Tanahashi did. I mean,
and that Shibata match is going to slap.
He gets known. I mean, one of the big things they like to say is he saved this company through his performance. And he steered them into that golden age. So he gets all the credit in the world for that.
Well, it's like, yeah, because Okada was already as good as he was going to be at that time, but they needed somebody like Tanahashi.
But Okada
Tanahashi.
Was the new young guy. Tanahashi yes. was the one carrying it before
correct.
That.
Correct. So they needed guys like Tanahashi and Naito to, like, carry the load until somebody Goto. Like Okada was ready to be, yeah. Oh, yeah, the fucking Pete Kota era, dude. Oh, my God. Anyway. When Shinsuke was still, like, not that he's not still getting
that's
level.
I think
when
we're
going to
get a Tanahashi
Omega
mega match this year. I'd almost
that
put
would
money
be
on it.
Fucking
at
so
some
great.
Point this year, maybe Dominion. Maybe Forbidden Door. I think we're going to see a Kenny Omega and Tanahashi match. Because I believe they've done the last Okada and Tanahashi one.
So yeah, I think that was the last time. Yeah.
They made it feel
like I think it was really good, the last one that they did. I think we both really gave that match a really good review, I want to say.
It was just the definition of a fine Okada and Tanahashi match. You know what you're getting,
mm-hmm.
and they delivered on it.
And they didn't overstick their welcome in that one, if I remember correctly, too. It was next, exactly what it needed to be.
Yeah, we have our boy, Kinosuke Takeshita, going for the GOAT double championship Japan. Match. The AEW International Championship and the Never Open Weight Championship on the line. And Takeshita defeated Shingo Takagi to win both titles. This was – I saw someone wrote two behemoths colliding, and I couldn't agree.
Literally. That's exactly how you could write.
Takeshita just has such great power, and he literally feels like the top guy in New Japan, and he's not signed there.
That was the crazy thing. We in our heads, we could have said, oh, this guy, we keep saying for months on our podcast now, man, if this guy just left AEW and went to Japan, he'd be so over and he'd be like Okada born again, but way more
and
over.
And the G1 because, was proof of it. Because yes. he gets these reactions. He gets people to care.
I didn't see much of what he did in the G1, so I only had a small sample size.
Even the word of mouth about it and how great his run was, and it just felt like he was the MVP, it felt like.
Oh yeah,
good matches against everyone.
Uh-huh.
His match versus ELP, everyone's calling it ELP's best match, and I'm like, when Takeshita has the ability to do that already, he's entering his prime. It doesn't matter who he's wrestling, and now, of course, in my opinion, you give him one of the top wrestlers in Japan right now, in Shingo Takagi, in this match. So of course it's going to be good.
But that was a key thing. You couldn't give him give him fucking butt stuff. You know what I mean? Like that wouldn't.
Your audience, because when you plan this match out, you know what you're getting, because both of these guys are that level of fucking great.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it was just a really smart call. It didn't go that long at all. Which when we get to what happened next following this match, it felt like the card was like, oh my god, we have two matches left. But yeah, no, the lariats, the clotheslines, his blood, that blue thunderbomb. Takeshita's a double champion. He's won New Japan Gold. It felt like he had tears in his eyes. He's happy, and I am so happy for him. I love.
Bro, I think those tears in his eyes are him realizing that he made a mistake when he signed with AEW and not signing with New Japan.
But even signing with AEW, you got the ability to wrestle in New Japan and still represent DDT, which is something he cares deeply
about.
That's
the thing. I don't understand that barrier needs to be broken in Japan. Guys like from NOAH are starting to do it. But there's guys in DDT right now that are doing some of the best Japanese wrestling in the world. They're just getting ignored by Japan, basically, like else beyond that, which is
stuff like Gleet. Like you have all these really cool individual Japanese promotions that are some are newer. It's just cool. So. Any other thoughts you had from this match? And just, God, Wrestle Dynasty, just coming up now with Takeshita on it.
I mean, yeah, it's like it was super high hitting. They said behemoths colliding. I put titanic clash, so like I'm in the same zone as that person. I just put it in my notes. Two of the best wrestlers to come out of Japan ever fighting for a championship. You know what I mean? For two championships, rather, even. You know? And they did everything. And I wrote as my skeet that I live skeeted during this was that Okada is obviously the best talent to come out of Japan ever, probably. I think people could probably argue that at this point. Antonio Inoki, yes, because of the business being changed by him. But... I just think that pound for pound as a wrestler and like just over, maybe you'll never be Inoki, right? But you could probably be as big as Okada is right now, right? I think Takeshita is the next biggest star from Japan is what I'm getting at. I think he's the biggest, most talented, most over potentially with the Japanese crowd that's ever come out of Japan. And I think as soon as his AEW contract is over, he's going to go over there. And Okada's legacy can be as great as he wants it to be, but I think it's going to get shattered by this kid.
He's that potential.
And
the next ace.
Maybe that never happens. Maybe he just stays and he becomes the ace of AEW because that slot's going to be open, you know? Like,
yeah.
Arguably, it's already open. I mean, Danielson talented. Was really it. You know what I mean? So, like, who's now? You know what I mean? Like, who's now the ace? You know?
You see, that's an interesting debate because I never thought Danielson was the ace. You know who I
think he's definitely the best wrestler.
I've thought since the jump, John Moxley's been the ace of AEW.
He says that, but I don't know. Because, like, is John the best wrestler in AEW? I don't know.
Because I don't,
like,
consider any of the EVPs the ace. I think it's John Moxley.
Yeah, no, I don't. Kenny is good enough wrestler to be the ace. And maybe you could argue it's Kenny. I mean, I'd be willing to argue Kenny over Danielson, because Kenny's probably had the most consistent matches since AEW started, right?
Yeah, but he's just an EVP.
Shit, you know what? I'm going to make a real strong argument for Hangman here, actually. I think it's actually Hangman Page.
Could be Hangman.
Or, here's another one, Swerve Strickland.
Up next, we had El Desperado defeat Doki for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship. This match got off to a fun start, and Doki got injured, and they stopped the match. Very, very sad. I thought we had really cool entrance out of Doki here. That was they said it was some Japanese, like, theater spectacle, and I was like, this Shido Nakamura, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was absolutely fucking brilliant, this entrance. You could feel the energy from Doki. Chris on commentary was doing a brilliant job highlighting just how big this is for Doki, because we've really seen it just develop in front of our own eyes, him emerge and defend his title at the Tokyo Dome, and it ended in that fashion. Just all the best wishes to Doki in his recovery from the injury.
Yeah, it's tough. This kind of reminds me of the same energy as when Dante got hurt. Like, just a guy that just fucking got hurt at the wrong time for his career, you know? Yeah. Like,
and the match just got started.
And that sucks, too, because it's like, we say that for Dante, but Dante still gets featured on TV all the time, right? Doki, his career could be over from this, because Japan does that to people, you know what I mean? Like, he might be fucked, you know what I mean? Like, not because he's not able to wrestle again. He may go wrestle in DDT or Gleed or something like that, or wherever the hell, you know what I mean? Or maybe even ringing AEW, they've had him over there before, right? He may go somewhere else, but he may never get another shot to become, like, a big, massive star in Japan because of this, and that sucks. I hate the Japanese wrestling is like that sometimes, you know?
Yeah, I hope it all works out, and he's at the Dome next year fucking defending this belt again or fucking going for it. I'd love to see his success continue. Up next, we had Yoda Tsuji defeat David Finlay for the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. He is the third ever wrestler to hold this belt because, like other belts before, they've reset the history on it. This was the American Championship, which then became the United Kingdom Championship, which is now the Global Heavyweight Championship. So, young guy, again, I say young, but you know what I mean. From Excursion, if you will, holding the belt, and another good sign for the future of the company. And I got to tell you, and it didn't seem like we were alone when we were kind of doing some reviewing. This is my favorite David Finlay one-on-one match I think I can recall seeing. It was fantastic. These guys worked very well together. Yoda Tsuji is so fucking good. He is so fucking good. Yeah, he had some fantastic chemistry here between the two of them. They had to follow up from that injury, and that's not an easy thing to do, because the energy definitely can kind of get sucked out of the crowd when that happens. But I thought they delivered a very, you know, we haven't really mentioned that on the show this much, but the spectacle of this show that we had today, Wrestle Kingdom 19, when you have entrances like this and you shoot them the way that they did, didn't it feel, it just felt like such a big deal.
Oh, I mean, I'll just write, I literally wrote down a little paragraph. Like I said, I wrote something down because we were talking about this, like, literally right after the show. And, like, actually, we think it was when we were in the Discord, when we were talking right before, after the show, like, or in this call, I can't remember. But the point is, I wrote down this little thing that was like, New Japan does sets unlike anybody else. They capture spectacle in the entryway, and it feels like a WrestleMania level, like, aura to the show. And then, like, you get down to the ring, and it's a minimalist, like, sports aesthetic, which is, like, completely, like, in contrast to the massive entrances you just mentioned that you just saw. I mean, you see all kinds of crazy shit across the course of the show. You know, you see Evil with his, like, fucking absolute fucking, like Cody Rhodes, Cody Vader combined with, like, fucking, like, some, like, crazy shit, you know what I mean? Like, and then you have, like, you know, like, fucking Cloak and Dagger, fucking, like, sold out fucking Ren Narita, and then you have fucking Hiromu showing up dressed like a fucking absolute demon, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, you got all kinds of shit on this show. New Japan does spectacle in a way that I don't think wrestling really does anymore, which I think they need to get more credit for.
They perfected it. And I mean, when I think of that Danielson entrance last year, And it was just one of the most beautiful entrances I've ever seen.
Perfect. When someone does one of those skits, it's like Define Aura, like Danielson walking down the entrance ramp in Japan. You know what I mean? Like, that's it right there. You know what I mean? Like,
so,
I just love how cool that is. It's like, I know he's like an international star at this point, but it's just so cool that a guy like him can walk down in a place like on the other side of the world, and it's the same level of reaction that he gets like in his hometown. That's
absolutely
just incredible that wrestling. What did you think
of the match?
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, they did a lot of really, like, it had decent pacing, which a lot of New Japan matches don't, you know. It actually didn't overstay its welcome, which we always talk about with New Japan. There's a couple of spots I really liked. There was, like, a super powerbomb off the top rope. There was actually also, like, a sequence where David Finlay just went fucking absolutely off the fucking Wolverine fucking steroids and fucking, you know, hit the fucking Wolverine ult and fucking hit, like, 30 powerbombs in a row, like he's Wardlow or something, you know? Yeah. And Wardlow managed to make it into a New Japan show somehow. I'd actually love to see him go to Japan, actually, now that I think about it.
Be great. He would be fantastic in Japan.
They would love him in Japan, actually. And there was also this anti, like, I don't know if he was going for his spear, but that's what I'm calling it, where he kneed him in the fucking side of the head to death to doom. Oh,
so good.
That was great. I thought the match would end right there, honestly. It was part of the setup, though. And yeah, just Yoda winning a championship is huge for his career. You know, I mean, like, we obviously, we need to see them start investing in the young talent, as I keep reiterating on this show, because
this is something how you do
Japan
it,
like hasn't really been doing. So, you know.
Yep. This is exactly how you fucking do it. So, yeah.
And then they went into this next match is how you don't do it.
Yeah, no, I would say on paper, this match was not one I was really anticipating. And I thought it delivered very, very well. And the crowd was happy after such a tragic moment that just happened. And now Yoda Tsuji gets to take that title and defend it against Jack Perry. So that should be fun. Up next, we had Tetsuya Naito defeat Hiromu Takahashi. 30-minute entrances. You know, they were calling it the 5 years of destiny, right? Takahashi was... This match meant more than their friendship. And it means... Honestly, a big thing about this match was he wins it. It guarantees he probably graduates out of the junior heavyweight division. I don't know why Takahashi doesn't win this match. I don't get it. Naito ends up winning.
Bittersweet. Yeah, I understand why he probably didn't win from their perspective. Because in the same way that, like, when they didn't have, like, when they were probably just throwing, like, $20 million at Okada, you know? Like, hoping that he would take it and just stay in Japan, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, thinking, like, well, we might bankrupt the company, but at least we'll still have the fucking guy that we kind of need for this to work, right? They probably feel the same way with the junior division. Like, if they let him go up to the heavyweight, they don't have a star that they can just put the title on when they don't know what to do. Because there's
it feels like it's Desperado is taking that mantle. It's just, it's
Despy's only got so much time left in his career. He's, you know what I mean? Older. Like, so like Despy can only hold that mantle probably for like the next 5 to 10 years.
Well, now we know he is going for a heavyweight belt anyways. He's going for the tag belt. So, I mean, that does seem like a fun call though for New Japan. Having Naito and Takahashi go for tag belts, that is a fun call for them. They're going to be wrestling the Young Bucks tomorrow, which should be fun. Yeah, give me Takahashi.
And if I know New Japan storytelling, they're going to lose those titles in, like, I don't know, the next pay-per-view or something like that. And then it's going to lead to some kind of match for a championship down the road. Probably. I don't know which one it would be, but one of the heavyweight titles, you know? Like, maybe the Never Open Weight will come off the Takeshita or something like that. I have no idea, but... See, that's tough. I don't know. You're going to have, like, a problem with that because... Where's your... Because, you know, Takeshita's obviously just going to be defending on New Japan stuff now, which is fine. But, you know, I do wonder, you know, because you're just probably not going to take that off him. It's kind of like the Eddie Kingston thing, right? Like, they probably aren't going to take it off him for a while, right? Just because you don't want to, like, take away from that aura at all, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you have to move your championships at some point. So, I don't know. Like, let's see. This is what's interesting about this is it sets up for some interesting possibilities that I think is going to challenge them because it's going to be difficult to get these guys into a situation where they're going to be fighting for championships for a while because... other than those tag ones. So maybe we do an extended tag run, division, you know?
Which is, So it'll feel fresh. It should be cool. I mean, assuming they win the titles. It could be great Okan because he could win his titles back. So
An extended tag run could just mean maybe they go after the titles a few times. You know what I mean? New Japan's never been shy about running the same contenders back multiple pay-per-views in a row. You know what I mean? Like,
not at all. So, our main event time, Shota Umino versus Zack Sabre Jr., IWGP World Heavyweight Championship back. So, this, here we are. We have one of our young guns main eventing. We have Zack Sabre Jr. finally and well-deservedly main eventing. They have a 43-minute match. And I got to say, this was a good time. You know, during the match, you can feel the pace a little bit. But the way I always kind of talk about these New Japan Wrestle Kingdom main events, like, we've had the fucking the Money Clip saga when you had Shingo and Okada, right? Like, sometimes they just extend the match to extend it. And a lot of times you'll have Umino, specifically in this match, just kind of standing there pouting a little bit. And it can feel like the time is just going on and on. But once you get to those ending stages of the match, it all feels worth it because you can feel the energy from the guys and how much it means to them. And just, I thought Sabre had to do everything in his power, you know, to really defeat the young gun here, the Shooter. He has been adding a lot to his character over time. I thought a little note I had in, and it's something that's grown more on me in wrestling, is it was kind of cool to see the main event have these two guys with just vastly different gears, and they're both bright colors. You know, it's not, you know, black on black gear, and just, you know, it felt cool to kind of have both guys have that added spice and style to their gear. It sticks out when it happens, and it just created a different energy a little bit. So now I love that Sabre got the victory in the main event here. From everything we've seen from his title reign, it's been going on, you know, almost 3 months now. So it's really cool to see him get this opportunity. There was flashes of greatness in this match. And I think, I haven't said this in a long time, but it's going to apply here. I think when people make highlight videos of this match, they're going to think it was an unbelievably fantastic match. And I think that is just highlighted by maybe like,
do you want me to blow your mind? I actually
15 to 20 minutes.
I don't even think with highlights I'm going to need that to say that. I think I actually think this was a phenomenal match.
Yeah, there you go. No, the match was fine. I'm just saying it went way too long. But that's what happens in these main events.
I don't know. I feel like this works just the way it goes.
I can do without 20 to 25 minutes of Umino pouting. It started.
I feel like he didn't pout for 20 minutes, man. I feel like that's an exaggeration. Did. No, that's crazy. That's not true. I don't agree with that. I could just talk about the things that I did like with this match, though, or unless you had more you wanted to add. Like,
no, I'm done. I'm happy with the result. It was fine for what it was, and yeah,
it's too long. To me, this felt like a changing of the guard moment. Like, it felt like this was Shota graduating to a different level of like star to me. I feel like I saw something from him in this match that in all the big spots that they put him into this point, I just didn't see. You know what I mean? And maybe that was just me, like, kind of doubting the guy because there was so much stock put on this guy because, like, Jon Moxley, like, just handpicked him out of, like, the new, you know, Lion class that came out and was like, no, this is the guy, you know? And I was like, okay. Not that I don't trust Jon Moxley. Actually, I kind of trust him a little too much, I think, sometimes with his thinking with wrestling because, you know, he can like everybody else overcook a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, but, like, just I felt like the opening counters and chain wrestling sequence of this match was some of the most like I haven't seen anybody else be able to do that with Zach in that way since Danielson and him like danced a couple times. You know what I mean? Like, I think Danny might have done a little bit of that with him. I think they touched once maybe in like a tag match or something that springs to mind. Maybe I'm just like tweaking and inventing that, but I swear to God, him and Danny have touched. Maybe not. Maybe I invented that match in my mind, and if not, and if I did, then make that happen, Tony Gunn, what the hell? But, you know, they definitely should. Yeah, that's fuck it. That's on your bingo card for this year. If Daniel Garcia wrestles him, then I spoke that into the universe. Anyway, there was, like, I just thought it was, like, an unbelievable opening sequence, and then the Black Bull Combat Club elbow, so that was a nice layer that was thrown in there. I thought commentary added nothing to this match. There's some really hard strikes in there. Zach doing that fucking headstand on the DDT that got hit by fucking Shota, dude. that was fucking great, and it led to some hilarious fucking photos on Blue Sky. And I mean, the way I described it in my notes, like a heated argument with Fist. I felt like there was intensity and tension in this one, which is actually something that I'll give credit to commentary for noting. That was something Charlton, you know, everything that was good on commentary came from one guy. I'll just say that. You know what I mean? I don't know why I hate New Japan commentary so much. It just does not work for me. Yeah, and I think you said it had that slow start, but I thought it really got going. I mean, dude shoved his father. He was starting to get heel reactions. They were slapping the shit out of each other. And actually, something that I think might annoy some people, but I actually think really landed for me, every time Shooter screamed when he got hit really hard, that really landed for me. I don't know why. Yeah, and it's like, this is what I love about wrestling. The 20 minutes that you could have done without, I feel like were like essential to this match to end up burning the way that it did. Like, it's so fascinating that we have such like different opinions, you know, like, and that's why this show is so great, because you get the variety of different takes. Because sometimes I'm just really feeling like, I'll tell you, I watched Dynamite earlier this week, obviously, because that's, you know, my new show to review this year, obviously. So I'm really wanting to pay attention, obviously. But I haven't really sat down and like, I did miss having Rampage a little bit, but like, I wasn't like pressed to watch. Like, I didn't go pull up a Stardom show or something. You know what I mean? To be like, God, I really want to watch some wrestling, you know, like. But this hit really well for me, because I think I wasn't really, I didn't need any wrestling, but like, it was a nice thing to have, you know what I mean? Because I didn't have as much as I normally have this week. So I don't know. Yeah. With that being said, Charlie, is there anything else you wanted to add, or like, have we reached the ending here?
You know, I think that's it. I thought overall it was a really good show. It felt like a injection in the arm that the New Japan has kind of been needing, and I think it's a great start to 2025, because they have a ridiculous schedule. I mean, it was 11 hours following the actual show, or something like that, like 13 hours maybe following their show, it's time for Wrestle Dynasty, and then about 3 hours after Wrestle Dynasty, it's New Year's Dash. So it's going to be fucking nuts. New Japan is going to be
New Japan's running another show after Wrestle Dynasty that same week.
I think that's why Wrestle Dynasty is so early.
That's crazy. So
it's like 1 p.m. there, if I remember correctly.
I'm going to guess that nobody from AEW is going to be on that show.
Maybe. Who knows? It's right down the road. So, yeah.
Well, if we talk about that show, it'll be on the next show after the next show. Like, it won't be the next wrestling show, because there's no way we're going to... Well, actually, it'll be before that, so shit, I guess it could work its way in there. Fuck, yeah,
Saturday, we have Collision, and then... And I wonder how they're going to play this into it, because technically, Wrestle Dynasty, the pre-show, is going to start immediately after Collision at 10. So, I wonder how they're going to play into that. They might be like, get your New Japan World subscription now.
Dude, how sick would it have been if they did a live episode of Collision from Japan? Ugh.
That would have been fucking metal. So,
God damn it, Tony Khan. Just
real quick, preview the Wrestle Dynasty card, since it is in the chronological order. It's very next up. We have Willow Nightingale versus, what we decide on? Persephone, Athena, and Momo Watanabe, who was here tonight. It's an International Women's Cup Final 4-Way match, and the winner receives a women's championship match from the participating promotion of their choosing. The Sons of Texas, we have Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara versus House of Torture, Sho and Yoshinobu Kanemaru. This is a tag team match for the ROH World Tag Team Championship. We have Zack Sabre Jr. versus Ricochet for the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship. Konosuke Takeshita versus Tomohiro Ishii for the Never Open Weight Championship and the AEW International Championship. Yoda Tsuji versus Jack Perry for the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship. Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd, singles match. Shota Umino versus Claudio Castagnoli, singles match. David Finlay versus Brody King in a singles match. I gotta tell you, that match has a little more juice to me right now than it did.
Well, we didn't fucking mention this about Finlay. We talked about it. I fucking forgot to mention it. That my brain forgot. It's not the terrible time to mention this. That there was people all over Blue Sky talking about how it was night and day with David Finlay. Like,
he looked really good. They had fantastic chemistry together.
And we've fallen into this trap with this guy before, but I don't expect – I think what we should all do now is level our expectations to not expect this guy to hit like this on every pay-per-view, but certainly at Wrestle Kingdom and probably like Dominion and other big shows of the year, he's probably going to hit at. Because I feel like he's had some good Dominion matches too. Like, I feel like
– he looked so much better than when he was Juice Robinson's tag partner. I mean, it was night and day.
That's literally what people were saying. Yeah, you know,
it's night and day.
So I think –
I was never the biggest Finn Juice fan ever.
No. I've not really been a super big fan of any of his singles matches. Like, there's been so many times when I just walked away kind of disappointed. And this was an example of a time when I walked away.
The New Japan Cup with him versus Sonata was like watching paint dry.
Yeah, that was brutal.
But I am more excited now for Finlay versus Brody King than I was 4 hours ago. So
that's the magic pro wrestling right there.
Great O'Connor and Jeff Cobb versus the Young Bucks versus L.I.J., a.k.a. Naito and Takahashi, for the vacant IWGP Tag Team Championship. Mercedes Moné versus Mina Shirakawa for the Strong Women's Championship and the Undisputed British Women's Championship. We have 4 New Japan wrestlers versus 4 CMLL wrestlers in an 8-man Lucha Gauntlet match. And then Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Katsuyori Shibata. So, yeah, I think there's a chance Mina is double champion by the end of this night.
That's good. That's very possible.
Very big possibility. So, yeah, I'm very excited to see some people wrestle here. Obviously, Athena has been...
I think it was actually a brilliant decision to have them wrestle twice for the titles in like a span of like 4 weeks like that, because it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It opened
it's
up...
It's been cool, because Athena's been wrestling a bit on, I want to say it was Stardom? I wish I had what it was, but I've been seeing clips for wrestling in Japan this week, and she's just crushing it. She's having fun, so...
Yep.
Yeah, guys, if you are interested at all in AEW and future New Japan stuff that we eventually ever get around to, we cover a lot of random shit sometimes. We've covered the Royal Rumble on here before. Like, it just happens. We cover random shit on
don't
here.
Don't expect us to be doing that with the Saudi Royal Rumble.
Whenever
this year,
I don't whenever know about the Rumble one. Is rumbling, you never know. Yeah,
nah, Saudi Arabia. I don't know. Unless it's a 70-man Royal Rumble where the entire roster is in the ring. I don't know. I don't know about it.
That broke late last night, so I wonder, that's going to be all the talk today, is the Saudi Arabia Royal Rumble.
That's why I snuck it in there, you know what I mean?
Yep. Other than that, guys, if you've enjoyed this at all, come back for more. We'll be here covering AEW this week. It's going to be a fun time. So thanks again. And that being said, I think there's only one person that can take us home. And you did mention him today. He's not left in the past. He's here. He's here to stay. Future New Japan World Heavyweight Champion, Wardlow. Take us home, buddy. You